All around the country, people pass the dog days of summer playing baseball. Whether it's catch in the backyard or in an inter-office league, the pace of the game seems to go well with hot weather, cold beer, and out-of-shape athletes. But for those who play vintage baseball, even that pace may not be slow enough. Lars Howell reports.
One hand down, two tallies in, striker to the line.
In other words, there's one out, two runs have scored, and the umpire has called batter up. It's only the first inning, but the Akron Blackstockings have jumped to an early lead against the home team, New York Gotham Baseball Club.
Tally the runs, Blackstockings 3.
This is no intramural softball game here on the grass in the middle of Central Park. Both teams look like they've stepped out of a portal in time. Their uniforms have no names, no numbers, just a big letter A or G on a bib in front of each long-sleeved jersey. Hats are old-fashioned pillboxes, and no one has a baseball glove.
Some people question our intelligence playing without gloves.
And did Gotham center fielder John Flaherty realize at first just how hard this ball is?
No, I found out when I broke my finger. It's very difficult to catch without a glove. It's a whole different feel. I can't imagine wearing a glove now. It just seems like it would be so easy.
Most ball players felt that way until about 1875, according to Gotham's captain, Drew Frady. That's when catchers and first basemen decided that wearing a glove might be a good idea. But Frady says this whole no-gloves business called for rules much different from today's baseball.
The biggest one that people would recognize is that any ball caught on one bounce is an out. Other rules that people would look at and think are strange, the batter cannot overrun first base. A ball that hits in fair territory first and rolls foul is still a fair ball. Pitchers will throw from 45 feet instead of 60 feet, and they throw underhand. The umpires will give a warning both to the pitcher and to the batter before they start calling balls and strikes.
Warning to the striker!
Show what effort you do, boys!
It is the gentility of a sport that will warn a player before he is actually penalized that attracts many people to vintage baseball. As umpire Chris King explains, sometimes a ruling can even be based on what's referred to as a gentleman's call.
A good umpire will always defer to the player. If you're calling an out at the third base, you ask the third baseman, what is your call? And a good third baseman will say, man, he was safe. Or the runner, you know, if you're calling the runner out, you'll say, sir, were you out? And if he says he's safe, if you're a good umpire, you'll say he's safe.
Gentlemen's call, third baseman, was the man out?
A lot of people don't realize this was a kid's game. And it's gotten so far from that, and that, you know, what it is today about money, money, money.
Mark Heppner is captain of the Akron Blackstockings.
It's being a good sportsman. Yes, winning is important, but it's about having fun. It's about recreation. It's about athleticism. It's about, you know, companionship. I mean, besides the fact, all these guys are volunteers. I mean, we don't get paid. We travel. It's our own expenses. It's our gas. It's our food. It's our lodgings. And so it's not a cheap thing either. And all of us have jobs to do, but we feel it's important enough to do. It's a lot of fun, obviously, too.
Those who play vintage baseball like to say it's the way the game was meant to be played. That doesn't mean it's any slower or less exciting than today's game. But vintage baseball does have the sensibility of an earlier time. Players call each other sir. They shout, well struck, after a hit, or even well called, to compliment the umpire. It's this feeling of civility that draws spectators and players alike to vintage baseball.
My name is Ed Schumann, and I play the position of pitcher.
With his full beard and stocky physique, the Blackstockings' Ed Schumann looks every bit the 19th century baseball player. He says what he does is similar to a Civil War reenactor or the costumed figures that populate historic villages. But Schumann also says all work and no play makes history a dull place.
People like to see what was being done in the leisure time of the 1860s. Oftentimes, historic villages show how they work and how they lived, but they don't say much about how they play. So that's one of the unique features of this. For me, it was a chance to play baseball again without getting involved in the, if you will, beer league circuit of the lodge softball teams and so forth.
As the game unfolds, it's also fun to watch the crowd, mostly bemused New Yorkers and a few tourists, become more and more involved with these 18 men, dressed so oddly in long sleeves and trousers on a hot summer day. Sitting on the grass along the baselines, these ad hoc fans cheer the hits and groan when a player is out, and it seems not to matter which side is at bat.
Nobody has to practice playing dead like in a Civil War reenactment. No fake amputations like in Civil War reenactments. This is great.
Huzzah! Huzzah! Huzzah!
For NPR News, I'm Lars Howell in New York.
This weekend, 16 vintage baseball teams, including the New York Gothams, are competing at the National Silver Ball Tournament in Rochester, New York. To learn more about vintage baseball, visit our website at npr.org.